Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 546, State of the Halo Community, recorded live on July 14th, 2016. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome to another exciting week of not as much news. It seems like we're kind of getting into that little time frame because we're finally out of all the officially delivered content that we have been guaranteed for Halo 5. And then we've kind of entered in the whole summer convention stuff, and I think we've pretty much gone through a lot of what Halo's going to be really showing off, except for maybe more Halo Wars 2 stuff. So news is kind of scattered about, but there's actually quite a bit of community news that has been out this week, along with some other little previews into what's going on at SDCC this coming week, after this week. So yeah, lots of little things to talk about, lots of other goodies from the community, which is actually something we haven't covered in quite a while. So it'll actually be nice to get back and cover some community news. And then we're going to be talking about something maybe a little controversial. You may have heard some Twitter drama or some YouTuber drama over the past couple of weeks during RTX. And I'm going to put in my two cents about it and see what we can make of what's going on and how 343 interacts with the community, at least from my purview of how the community and 343 work together to make Halo better, so to speak. But first things first, let's go ahead and jump on into some community news. We got quite a few different contests and tournaments going up this weekend, and this is the last week of the HCS Pro League summer season, which that kind of came and went pretty quickly.
Yeah, it blew right by.
I haven't been paying attention to it since like week two, and it's just come and gone. And it's like, whoa, that's already coming to an end. That's kind of, already. So much for paying attention to that and staying on top of that. Yeah, so that's actually going on this weekend. I believe the European stream is actually going on right now. If I'm not mistaken, they usually do that on Thursday nights when we normally record our podcast. So if you're over watching us instead of them, thank you for stopping on by. And then we have the North American last week will be on Friday, so the day after this recording. But yeah, we have quite a bit of things to talk about tonight. Let's see. First things first is, so should we hop on with SDCC news or community news? What do you think we should roll with?
Well, let's start with the whatever. Comic-Con.
San Diego Comic-Con stuff.
And then we'll move into the community, and then we can just roll into our main topic from there.
Alrighty. So we'll start with the Comic-Con stuff. So for anyone who has attended San Diego Comic-Con, or I guess really any Comic-Con probably has this to some degree, but and we are getting quite the chat going tonight, so thanks to everyone in the Twitch chat hanging out. Mr. Grim Brother 1 in the house, which is awesome. And Mr. Chief Canuck over from Ready Up Live, and also Chief Canuck on YouTube. And then we have Laird, obviously. And we even have Babam the Grunt. Whoever remembers Babam the Grunt from way back in Podtacular days. Yeah, we've got some. we are resurrecting some people from the grave here tonight on the show. So lots of things to be thankful for this podcast. But so for Comic-Con, there's usually exclusives as far as toys or obviously appearances and panels and whatnot. But for San Diego Comic-Con, Halo routinely has some kind of exclusive going on at San Diego Comic-Con. And we already know about the exclusive Mattel figure. So Mattel has entered into the figure-making aspect of Halo merchandise. And we talked about that, I think, about 3 weeks ago, but they also revealed, I believe it was yesterday? Maybe it was today. But there's going to be an exclusive Boomco Halo Spiker, Brute Spiker, inspired by the Atriox faction in Halo Wars 2. So there's going to be a normal one, and then there's going to be the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive one. So that's going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. So that is actually, it was announced at on Toys R Us, of all things.
Tune in to Toys R Us for your latest Halo toys. Oh.
So I'm guessing Entertainment Earth and Toys R Us maybe have some kind of like deal, because they also announced several other exclusives. Plenty of Boomco Pop, or not Boomco, Boomco Pop, wow. The little Pop figures, there's several exclusives of those. There's some My Little Pony exclusives, Star Wars exclusives, TMNT, Transformers, some other Mega Bloks and NECA stuff. So they're actually looking, or not looking, they're revealing a lot of stuff. I guess there's some kind of deal between Toys R Us or Entertainment Earth, or maybe they're owned by the same parent company. But whatever the case is, there's going to be this Brute Spiker available at the Entertainment Earth booth. Wow, I cannot speak tonight. I am so sorry, folks. Getting tongue twisted over here. The Entertainment Earth booth, which is going to be booth 2343. So for those that have been, it's near closer to the, and Larry, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's closer to the south side of the hall, somewhere around there. But anyway, so we have that, which is, I think, the second and only other Halo exclusive that we're expecting to be at San Diego Comic-Con. So that's pretty cool. There's also going to be a panel, and I was bad and didn't actually pull it up for the show. Yikes. If I can pull it up here real quick. Larry actually sent it to me in a tweet earlier. There's going to be... Larry, do you mind having to help me out here? There's a Halo Wars 2 panel, Know Your Enemy, on Friday at 10:15 a.m. And with a description, join 343 Industries and guests as they reveal the process, the pain, and the pleasure of bringing the long-awaited sequel to life on PC and console, and the exciting future of the storied franchise. Exclusive video discussions and surprises await. Moderator Kiki Wolfkill hosts fellow 343 Industry veterans Frankie, Dan Ayub, Kevin Grace on the panel, along with special guest Dave Wilson of Blur Studios and Halo newcomer Erika Soto, as they discuss video games, acting, and how in the world do you say this word? Verisimilitude?
I don't know. I'm not the one looking at the word.
In the Halo universe. Wow. That is
Verosity?
A tongue twister. Oh my goodness. I'm just going to paste this in the chat because this was seriously a hard word to read. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, that's outside my vocabulary skill.
Verisimilitude. Okay, I'm going
to type that into Cortana and see if she can pronounce it. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, I'm dying over here. Dang. I'm just going to put this. Okay, I'm going to go on the quick derail here, and I'm just going to look up the definition of this.
Oh, this ought to be interesting.
Verisimilitude is the appearance of being true or real.
Okay.
There you go. There's your English lesson for the day, kids. Good luck spelling that in a spelling bee. My goodness gracious. Wow. Wow. I'm going to have to throw that one to a few of my teacher friends to see if they even know what the word means.
You ought to get some interesting responses.
I probably will. I will report back.
Where did you hear that word, Dust?
Yeah. In a post about Halo. Graham, hopefully that was not your writing, because I would expect that would be something of a wordsmith thingy that you would probably write up. Jeez Louise.
And I know I've said this before, but Kiki Wolfkill, best name ever.
Oh, Wolfkill. I mean,
like I said,
she killed Bio. Sorry, Bio, if you're listening to this afterward, I'm sorry, but that joke had to be made.
Had to be.
There was no way that I was not going to pass up on that.
Oh, speaking of Bio, I was wearing my hashtag Blame Bio t-shirt.
Nice.
Grocery shopping the other day. Someone actually recognized it.
Really?
Recognized the hashtag, not Podtacular. But I thought that was kind of cool.
Still recognize the hashtag. I mean, that's kind of a... There's very few communities that are aware of that hashtag.
Yeah. So I don't know if he was just a Twitter fan, a Destiny fan, or he didn't seem to know Podtacular, but he knew being Beowulf. So Beowulf, you're famous.
And only 6 of you guys bought those shirts. I'm ashamed.
Well, you snooze, you lose.
Because I know you bought 3.
Well, you know, I can't leave my wife out because, you know, I like to sleep in my bed.
No, that's a good point. Good point. I know you bought one. I know you bought 3. Bife bought 1. I'm not sure who else bought. Someone else did tweet that they bought it. Did he? I mean, I gave him one already.
Well, yeah, that one got ripped on his trip.
Back from that's RTX right.
Or something. I think he said he was going to buy one.
Yeah, so we know 3 people, and I know someone else actually tweeted to us that they got a shirt. So yeah, that leaves 2 people who we don't know who bought the shirt.
Actually, I can't think who it is.
Unless you know.
Yeah, I saw him tweet. I saw 2 shirts tweet out on the on Twitter, and Ward was one of them. Who was the other one? I forget.
I'd have to go look at the notifications, and that's a long way back.
Yeah, dude. Take forever to find that one.
Long way back.
What I found funny was, you know, I had 2 people that tweeted they got their shirts, and like 2.5 weeks later, I got mine.
I don't know how Teespring ships them out. I just made the campaign, and it was successful, and that was it.
I'm fine. I got the shirts. I figured, okay, somebody got the shirt. I should see mine in the next couple of days. 2.5 weeks later, I got it. I'm like, But anyway, that was, you know, that is a lot of material that, you know, they probably had to run down to Tents R Us to get enough material.
Tents R Us.
Well, didn't you know that's where I shop for my clothes?
No, but I do now.
Wide load coming. Oh.
Good stuff. Another little thing about San Diego Comic-Con, for those that might be unaware, I did go last year, and last year they had the breakout arena thing, the real life thing. I still haven't edited the footage, so my project over the weekend is going to be editing that footage and putting it up on YouTube before San Diego Comic-Con next week.
A year later. Oh.
Hey, I mean, perfect timing, right? It's relevant again. It's San Diego Comic-Con.
Sure. Just wrong year. Oh.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
Which I've been using a lot lately, which is sad. But that's going to change, because that's another announcement that we have to make as well. But as far as the video stuff is, I have video of 343 folks and the 405th actually playing in the breakout arena. So there's actually a lot of content to go through, but I'll see what I can at least throw up on YouTube before the event starts over the next weekend. And yeah, you'll at least see something. And I still have a bunch of other pictures to go through. I still have PAX East pictures to go through for the 405th. I'm sure Robert Daly is like, where are these? And then RTX photos to go through. So there's a lot of photo and video editing to do this week for me.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. So anyways, that's pretty much it for the kind of official Halo newsy type of stuff to talk about. We did talk about the loot crate stuff and the new little exclusive figure that they're going to be including in the 6 new crates. And we actually talked quite a bit about, so I guess kind of the prefaces of what I'm actually talking about, the RTX recap blog post that Waypoint has up on their site. We actually talked quite a bit about RTX in the last podcast, so a lot of the stuff that's in there we kind of covered already. And the only other thing that we haven't covered too much is, of course, the Pro League. And then there's actually, as part of the latest update and the score tax stuff for campaign, there's a little Easter egg thrown in.
Just a little one.
just a little one, which turns out to be a pretty big one. But if you completed a Lazo run with the scoring on, your post-game carnage report for your campaign mission actually shows a hand drawing of Mr. Chief in the desert. Not Master Chief, Mr. Chief.
With a lasso.
With a lasso. Or lazo, as it's technically pronounced for Halo. But yes. So, I haven't actually done lazo for Halo 5. And granted, I haven't even done it for MCC. Still have those achievements to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be a long week / weekend / month.
I've got the, lot of other achievements I'm going to work on before I go to that one.
I don't remember, honestly, how many achievements I have left for MCC.
Come on, Haas. We can knock it out.
Yeah, Haas.
It's only 6-8 hours, the level.
For Lazo? Per level. Per level. Is Haas actually in here?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Is he?
Yeah.
Is he just in the list? Oh, no, there he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Nope, I see him now.
He's here.
Cool. Hey, Haas. Hey, Haas. Da-da-da-da-da. All right, so there's that recap, and again, we talked quite a bit about a lot of stuff from last week, so check out that podcast, which, as of this recording, actually isn't posted yet, yeah, but it'll be posted by Saturday. I wanted to say tomorrow, but I'm like, given recent trends, it might be until Saturday, but I'm going to try my hardest to get it out tomorrow. So as far as community news goes, there's a couple of contests and tournaments going about and around. This is a community that actually haven't heard from in a while, but it's nice to see them surface back up again. And it is BigTeamBattle.net. They're having a summer shootout tournament on Halo 5. And looking through here, prizes include a Jinx HCS t-shirt and a HCS cap, and then Halo themed keychains, and there's a first, second, and third place prize. It will be big team battle, so it's going to be registered teams of 8 players, so that's going to be pretty huge. I think we haven't really seen much stuff, I think, tournament wise in Halo 5 for big team, so it's actually nice to see this come about and get to see Halo big team kind of start making the resurgence as far as tournament goes, which is nice. I guess a little back history on BTB. It got its start, and we actually had Naked Eli on here at one point, and we were talking about BigTeamBattle.net a while ago and a few other times, but if I remember right, they got their start in Halo 3 and really exploded in Halo Reach, and we're doing a lot of tournaments, and I think that's where they kind of got their huge push and awareness, is during the time in Reach. So, as you know, there's a lot of tournaments that really revolves around the 4v4 or the 2v2 style and a little bit more FFA, but there was no one out there really doing stuff for a big team. So similar to how Griffball Hub manages the Griffball stuff, we have BigTeamBattle.net taking care of doing some big team organizations. So it's nice to see that come back around, and it's cool to see them actually putting out a tournament. So the tournament is July 30th. Rosters are locked on the 27th, so you can register up through the 27th of July. So that is approximately 2 weeks from when we're recording this. Tournament format is single elimination bracket, best of 5 series for regular matches, and then best of 7 series for the finals. There's a list of game types with game modes. Maps with game modes. Jeez, I cannot speak tonight. I don't know what is wrong. But yeah, so the maps and game types are up there, and other rules that you can look into, and we'll make a post about this on our website as well. But it's good to see BigTeamBattle.net back in the Halo news spectrum a little bit. It's nice to see them make a resurgence.
I hope they take off, because that was an important part of Reach. A lot of people participated in that.
As far as some other community news is concerned, Forge Hub is hosting another forging contest, and this time in the means of another infection-themed contest. So there's a... wow, this is actually pretty impressive. $1,000 total prize pool. Top 5 maps each get $200.
Nice.
All the top 5 maps will be included in Forge Hub's featured map library, and will have a video featurette on their YouTube channel.
Well, that's cool. I can't wait to see what they come up with.
That's pretty cool that you can build maps and get some money for it. That's awesome. But so submissions for this, there's a little more details obviously over on Forge Hub, but it's going back to the infection theme, and they actually did an infection contest back before the Memories of Reach. They did one kind of like in anticipation of, okay, let's get some maps designed for whenever the update comes out for Infection, and we'll get everything pulled together, and then once the game mode's out, put in the custom game mode things within Forge, and bam, you got your Infection stuff. And I think it was kind of in conjunction with Forge Hub, maybe Forge Labs as well, but I think through their collaboration, they actually came out with the initial set of maps that was used in the Infection playlist. So chances are, if you're going to make a map for this contest, and you're the top five, it's a good chance that those top five might get put into matchmaking, so people might be able to play on your maps.
Now that would be cool.
I think that would be really cool. I wish I had the time and the patience to forge.
Yeah. I don't have the time or the patience to forge. The things that the Forge community have done have just, every time I see a new map, I'm awestruck with what they do. It's just, you know, the what they did in Reach was great, even with their limited palette. But now with this Halo 5 Forge, it just amazes me the quality of the maps that they're putting out.
It's the best looking Forge out of any Halo game, easily.
Yeah.
And the stuff that people are making are stunning.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what, I mean, and not even just the maps that are playable that are coming out, but some of the aesthetic maps, some of the just the crazy game types, like the toilet bowl one, the clogged toilet. I mean, people are coming up with some crazy ideas in Forge, and it's I mean, I'm scratching my head over here thinking, what else other than like new objects and whatnot, what new features could they add to Forge to make it that much better? Because with the scripting in there and being able to do the different kinds of like seasons and the weather effects and all that stuff, there's a lot of stuff in there. And I bet for everyone that's forging, there's not even one person that's an expert at the entire Forge, except maybe some folks at 343, because you have people that focus on very specific types of things. So you have people that focus on making aesthetic maps. You have people that focus on making functional arena type maps or race maps or infection maps. Or,
well, the nice thing, if the one thing that I like about this new Forge is, yeah, you have the totally aesthetic maps, but even the regular gameplay maps, the aesthetics on those are just, they're beautiful to look at. A lot of them, they fit the theme that they were built to, unlike in previous Forges where you kind of build something and then, you know, the player had to kind of use their imagination to, you know, really make the map fit. But with the canvases they have and the objects and the tools that they have, they're making some really beautiful multiplayer maps in mini games. And, you know, the aesthetics, you know, they used to have kind of their own little niche. You either had an aesthetic map or you had a game map, but they've gotten to the point where they can put those two together. You can have a game map, but it can look pretty too.
And I think, maybe not considered pretty for some people, but one thing that really comes to mind is the RVB Griffball map. The one where it has the invisible floor and it has a mini version of Blood Ghost that's actually forged out. And then you have the helmets of all the characters up in the skybox. It's a functional map and it's aesthetically
pleasing. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's just amazing what they're doing with that. So this contest is really going to, this is really going to be neat to see.
And Chief Canuck is right. Forge in Halo 5 is overwhelmingly scary because there's just so much. And I want to get back into doing at least some Forge stuff at some point, but there's just so much stuff in there. It's going to be a month of just figuring the whole thing out. And I have gone into Forge and made stuff before. Whenever we did the Spartans for Troop things, I actually made the little stage that we took the picture on. So it's not like I'm completely foreign to Forge, but...
And I got to drive the Warthog. No way. Yeah.
Right. It was get in the hog and stay there.
Hold really still.
It's a spider. Get it off.
Get it off.
But it's just, Yeah, and Grimm's also in here too. He said that the studio is constantly amazed by the creations that the community is making, and it's just astounding. I watch Forge Labs and all the little map features that they do, and it's just insane with all the different maps and ideas that people come out with. And then you have Forge Hub, which has all the forging tutorials, which I think they haven't come out with one in a while, which is kind of sucks a little bit. But they were starting to do tutorials on how to do certain things in Forge, which was cool. So one of the things that I remember, which was kind of key, was having different spawn timers on things based on rounds. So you know how whenever you have the initial loading sequence, it's a different length than when you have just the round reset. So you have to account for different timings on when things spawn. So they went in on how to make a whole different timing system to spawn stuff at a certain time based on the delay that you need to account for at the beginning of the round. So it's just stuff like that.
Well, yeah, and then you get the added precision of bringing Forge to the PC. So,
which is going to be crazy awesome scary.
Yeah. You know, look at what they're doing with a controller, and then take that same degree and apply that to something that you can do with a mouse and keyboard, where they can literally type in the coordinates to place the object. So they can literally put it exactly where they want it.
I will say this about Forge, because we've kind of mentioned it before, and this is still a topic that I want to discuss at some point in the future, but get some other people on that might be able to talk a little more knowledgeable, or at least call out my BS if I ever come up with BS, which will probably happen.
Like somebody that's actually used it?
Yeah, pretty much. But as far as being able to forge something like Warzone, so being able to build a map and then have control points, so like you can have maybe the armory as a forge object and the garage as a forge object, and be able to expand the scripting system in order to specify, okay, here's where we can have enemies drop in, here's where we can have the warden or any other mega bosses spawn and that kind of stuff. And I think it's in the realm of possibility, maybe not in terms of being doing in Forge, because there's probably some optimizations within Warzone maps specifically that allow it to maybe not overwhelm the engine, but just taking from the fact of the possibility of doing it, to expand the Forge system in such a way where you could, with the scripting, be able to script the aspects of Warzone to work in a Forged map.
That'd be interesting. I really don't see it in Halo 5. Maybe in Halo 6, if they keep the Warzone model.
Which I kind of hope they do, because given the whole recent kind of uprising of the whole rec discussions going on again,
mm-hmm.
Warzone is still pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of fun, especially now that you got Firefight. But, I mean, even regular Warzone, I kind of go back and forth on it. Sometimes it just really irritates me, and sometimes it's a lot of fun. Sorry, train of thought left the station. I do hope that they bring it back. They do a little bit more tuning on it. It's a really good system. I don't mind the rec system that much. There are some things I would hope they change about it. Armor, emblems. There's just certain things that I don't feel people should have to unlock. Well, unlock by random chance. Let's put it that way. I think the armor and emblem, you'll put them behind some kind of lock, but make it something that the player has to do to unlock them. Or give them, like the Reach credit system, and let them buy the armor with the credits that they want, instead of just buying rec packs and randomly getting the armor that you want. And I do hope that they move back to a more Reach style armor setup, because I like the customization in Reach. You could have the helmet you want, you could have the arms you want, you could have the chest you want, you could have the legs you want. It made for a lot of unique combinations, where now, honestly, a lot of the Spartans look identical, especially when you're doing a red versus blue type match. You know, when you're playing free for all. Yeah, you can see the distinction because you generally have color distinctions, but not always. And there's a lot of times a lot of Spartans look almost identical. In Reach, it seemed like I didn't I didn't see duplication as much as I did. Now, I might say the same chest piece on four different people, but they always had different helmet or different arms or different legs. You never saw anybody wearing the exact same set of armor.
True. Although I will say for the Halo 5 stuff as well, get rid of the helmets that don't make any sense or the armors that don't make any sense. Like, it needs to be practical. Please. We don't need the helmet with the 7 weird dots or the one with the straightly vertical visor that doesn't make any sense. It there's something that feels wrong about it being in something that I feel should be a sci-fi game, and it's entering more of the sci-fantasy. And the ridiculous helmets and armor pieces just take that a step further. It's like there would be no one in the military that would ever wear something like that for any reason.
Well, you know, all depends on what features it has.
A straight vertical visor? I don't think so.
It could be X-ray vision. Who knows? I understand what you're saying. It, you know, at least make the armor look like it's practical.
Exactly. I mean, I know there's some that I don't like, but while I don't like them, they make sense. And then there's other ones that are just like, no, for no reason would this ever make any sense to have on armor.
Well, Fotis is a pretty good example of that. Why would you want a 2-foot horn on your head? And the funniest thing is that's got to be the most popular helmet I see out there.
That is true. That is really true.
Now, if they could come up with an assassination that utilized the horn, okay.
That would be interesting. Although, how would the assassination look if you didn't have the horn thing, though? That would kind of break.
They would have to do something with the assassination, probably make it automatically equip the helmet or something like that to make it work. But still, it would be funny.
Sure. Anyways, so off that train that just derailed. There's a couple other things. Actually, I think just one other thing I wanted to just kind of... a couple other things I wanted to kind of pull up. More specifically with regards to Potacular is we're still working on commendations for our Spartan company for the Achilles armor. We're at 20 of 31 completed, and go figure, with Warzone Firefight, we completed another level 5 one. And you want to guess what that one was?
I'm guessing it was an enemy kill one.
Yeah, so we got the Covenant for the last podcast. What do you think it is?
Did we
get
Prometheans this one?
Yeah, we did. So we have completed the Promethean kill commendation. So we have 2 of them at level 5 now. So stop playing Firefight, I guess, and go play regular Warzone so we can get some of the other commendations. Or just go play Arena.
I wonder if he is Spartan Charge and Elite if it counts. No, because you have to Spartan Charge a Spartan. That's right.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Kill an enemy Spartan with a shoulder bash is what the description says.
Darn.
Yeah, I know. But kind of going over those a little bit, our closest one that we have to get for the other, for the armor part, is I'm Just Perfect. Kill a player with precision weapons without missing. Currently we have 58-51 out of 6,000 for that one. Road Trip is the next closest one with 86-77 out of 9,000. And then the next one after that is So Cuddly, which is Assassinate Enemy Spartans. And that one is 1387 out of 1,500. And then the one that we need the most work on, if I can find it, is the Pain Train, of course, which is the shoulder bash one. We have 1617 out of 3,000 for that one. So that one is still the one that we need the most work on. I think it's kind of been that way for a while now, too.
Yeah, too bad they took away the insta-kill with speed boost.
Oh, they took it away after they added it?
Yeah, I thought I saw a post where they took it away. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, you could be right.
I don't know. I've never tried it, so I can't tell you.
Grim can confirm. He's in here. Or yeah, Erikibu can probably confirm too. Erikibu says it's gone.
Oh.
So, yep, you're right. They took it away.
It was pretty game-breaking, though, I have to admit.
I could see that.
Now, if they did it with, like, the level 3 speed boost, I could... That probably would make it not so bad. So I think you have to be, like, Rec 6 for a level 3. Rec 6 or 7, so...
It always is... Whenever I see the Ice Biteful montages and he uses a speed boost and he stacks them, it always just baffles me. It's like, how do you control yourself going that freaking fast?
I think they took away the stack as well, because I haven't seen him stack speed boosts in a while.
Oh, dang. That sucks. It'd be cool if you could stack... I guess, can you stack OS, damage boost, and speed boost at the same time? Can you stack those at least, or is it still just like you can only have one of whatever?
Well, I don't think you can generate enough rec to stack all three.
I think you could.
Well, no, a damage boost is a 6 minimum. Overshield.
Oh, then yeah, you're right.
Is a overshield's 3 or 4,
and speed boost is 2.
And the minimum is 2. Yeah.
Erikibu says you can still stack.
Oh, okay.
And NOTW.
I just haven't seen anybody do it in a while, so.
And Chief Canuck says damage boost is a 5.
5?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can only still stack 2 of them. So, another little community thing related to Podtacular is we're bringing on board a writer. So, I can actually, might be able to get some actual work done around here. So, one of the things that I've been looking for a while has been a writer that can actually write stuff, because that was kind of one of my strong suits bringing to the table of Podtacular, was being able to write articles and stuff. So if you've noticed a lack of articles recently, that's because I've been busy with conventions and trying to actually catch up on posting podcasts and whatnot. So it's going to be good actually having someone else that can do some article writing as well. Graham, it would be awesome if you could write for us.
The door is always open.
Yeah, I don't think 343 would be very keen on that. But so we actually have someone coming over from 343icommunity.com, I believe, or 343i or 343industries.com, one of the two. I forget what specifically came over, but he used to write some articles and I really liked his writing style. I liked kind of his short form. It seemed kind of similar to mine in the way that he wrote articles and did some coverage. So he's going to be coming on board and helping me write some stuff. And that'll actually help me get to some more important stuff, which I've left on the table for so long, like actually getting an updated Twitch page with stream assets and panels and all that stuff, and getting the website fixed and updated to where it needs to be, and doing a little more of administrative owner type roles instead of having to fill in a lot of different gaps and whatnot. So we now, that means we, our staff is brought up to, I believe, 6 people now. So we have an event coordinator, which is UGT. We have a graphics guy. We have a video guy. We have a CM. We have a writer now. And then you have me. So hopefully that'll be something that helps me kind of actually able to get some other stuff done. Oh, and we have a web guy. Duh. Forgot about South for a second. Sorry, South. But hopefully you'll see some changes coming from Podtacular within the next 3 months. At least that'll be the goal for now. So, and we're still looking for people to help too. If you have any talent in helping with site design or being able to do stuff with graphics or video or writer or really anything, we'd still be willing to take pretty much any kind of significant role for Podtacular that would be for anyone willing to help out. So we would still appreciate more help if people are willing to help out. And yeah. So I'm very thankful to have him on board. His handle is Vin Warrior. So if you guys are familiar with any of his work, then he will be the guy writing for us. And I'm excited because that helps lighten up my load a little bit. And I'm really looking forward to actually putting my foot down on some things and making a change to get some actual stuff done.
That does mean you have to put a certain game down.
Oh, ha 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 ha.
I'm sorry. I had to plug that in there because it's been all over everything. And if you've been living in a cave or under a rock, Pokemon Go, and I cannot believe all the stupid stuff that I've been hearing about this game. And it's not really about the game. It's just the people playing it. People, if you play the game, be smart.
Yeah. As the little splash screen says, when it pops up, remain alert to your surroundings.
That's all I'm going to say on that. I had to plug that in there because it's just getting stupid.
And here I was thinking we actually might not bring up Pokemon Go in this podcast, but yet here we are. Pokemon prevails in Podtacular. It still happens. It still happens. Brent isn't here anymore, but it still happens.
It's a Podtacular tradition.
It kind of is at this point.
Yeah, you ever turn around and find a cat staring you in the face? Sorry, my cat decided to say hi.
Where did that come from?
Sorry, it kind of startles you when you turn to your left and there's a cat just looking at you. Okay, whatever. You know, I've seen stories of people walking off cliffs, walking into traffic. Just be responsible with the game, people. I can understand it's an addiction. It's not one that I have. Thank you, Windows Phone, for not carrying it. I don't want people to get hurt playing this game. So pay attention. And, you know, that's all I wanted to say on that.
Fair enough. But yes, I have been playing Pokemon Go. I am level 12. I have 51 different Pokemon in my Pokedex. I was out Monday night from 11:30 to 12:30 at the Annapolis Docks playing Pokemon Go. And no joke, I am dead serious. 90%, at least 90% of the people were there specifically to play Pokemon Go. And over the course of the night, while I was playing, I probably saw around 200, 250 people come through the docks.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon. And I was born into the Pokemon age. Pokemon came out when I was 7 years old. I was the target demographic for that thing.
True. That is true. And yeah, don't get me wrong. I used to watch the cartoon and I even played the game. I was a little older than seven, but probably too old to be playing Pokemon. Anyway, I understand the allure of the game. Just be responsible when you play it, people.
Yes. For those playing Pokemon Go, be aware of your surroundings. Make sure that you're not doing anything stupid. Don't be trespassing anywhere either, because that's been going on too.
Oh yeah, I've seen, there are so many horror stories out there.
Just use sense. Just be smart about where you're going. That's really what it boils down to.
And, you know, just don't let it take you away from Halo, because Halo is more important. Well, to me, it's more important. I don't care about your opinion.
Yes. Oh, like overall, yes. But still, I mean, it's like it just came out. So obviously with any new game, you're going to spend time on it, but it'll balance out over time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did text one of my teacher friends and she did not have any idea what the word meant. Her best guess was trying to break, or no, very similar attitude.
Okay.
Basically, well, I mean, it kind of makes sense, just breaking up the word into some kind of chunks.
Yeah.
So yeah, did Grim answer whether or not he was the one that used that word?
I think he pleaded the fifth on that one.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I'm not sure if he did or didn't. The chat's been going by pretty quick, so I haven't been able to keep up with it.
Right. Shout out to our Twitch chat again, by the way, for those everyone watching us live on Twitch. We appreciate you coming out here, supporting us, and just joining the show. We have 13 viewers right now, which is awesome. Grim looks away. Yep.
I'm sure they have somebody there that just, you know, kind of goes through the dictionary and looks for obsolete and weird and abstract.
Yeah, what weird words can we throw in this description this time?
Yeah.
Good stuff. But anyways, so on to kind of the main topic of discussion tonight.
The meat of the sandwich.
Yes. Yeah, we got through all the bread and now we're at the meat, which doesn't make much sense. But anyways, guess we'll go with that analogy since that's the one we're using. But so people may have heard of a little bit of community controversy during the week of RTX, where Late Night Gaming posted a video of, I think it was Late Night Gaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, posted a video about some of the supposed development concerns and changes that happened during Halo 5's development. And then there was just this whole hoorah about how much influence does YouTubers have over 343? How much power do they have over making changes and decisions within 343 and whatnot? And since there's not really much other big Halo stuff to talk about, I thought it might be interesting if we kind of addressed it, or I specifically addressed it, because I am kind of in that inside group, so to speak. But as far as being more in the public purview, since we're not YouTube, we're not very upfront in that kind of thing. So YouTube is one of those areas that, like, if you're a YouTuber, there's a lot of scrutiny, there's a lot of public eye on you, and there's just, for lack of better words, YouTubers put up with a lot of crap. So
there were several YouTubers that were accused of painting a good picture of Halo 5. And for the most part, yes, they do portray a positive attitude towards Halo 5. But they do also acknowledge that there are problems, and they have done videos on them. They don't rant and rave like some people do and demand change. They put their opinion out there. People agree with it and people don't. I've stated my opinion about the Halo 5 campaign multiple times. There are people that feel a lot stronger about the change to the Halo game than others. And yeah, you know, I'll admit I'm not very happy with the story that's in Halo 5.
Well, I'm not either.
It's an okay story, but it's not a Halo quality story. It doesn't have the depth that the other games had. It doesn't portray, in my eyes, it doesn't portray what was advertised.
Well, with the Hunt the Truth thing and everything that they did for the ad campaign, I would completely agree.
But just going back to the YouTuber thing, a lot of people, you know, a lot of the bigger YouTubers get accused of things that aren't true. I can't speak for the YouTubers themselves because I honestly don't personally know them. I know people that talk to them on regular basis. I've had limited contact with them. In most of them, I do not see them padding stories just to get more views and get special treatment by 343.
And that's kind of what I wanted to address here as far as, and not just necessarily YouTubers either, because there's other community folks that are regarded as community influencers, myself being one of them, that aren't necessarily as in the public eye as YouTubers. I mean, YouTubers is kind of like the big thing for anyone that's kind of into the gaming. YouTube is where you go to get all your news and all your info and stuff like that. At least if you're into that type of thing. Podcasts, we've kind of fallen down a little bit on that totem pole. We're probably near the bottom of that kind of newsy stuff. But regardless, it's just kind of one of those things where there's a lot to the story that people don't see, and I kind of want to dispel some of the myths that are out there as far as how YouTubers are treated within kind of like the realm of game studios and then game studios going out. And I mean, perfect timing too with the whole Warner Brothers lawsuit going on right now too. But regardless of that, the Halo community back in the Halo 2 days was a very strong, very supportive community between a lot of different content producers. And that was one of the really cool things about Halo 2 back in the day for me, and at least it was very prevalent in the clans, is that you had all these clans that, while, yeah, there was the clan battle playlist, and you had all these clans fighting together, there was still kind of like a camaraderie of between all the clans of like, hey, we're playing you as, and as far as the game is concerned, yeah, we're opponents, but in the grand scheme of things, we all love Halo. And there was this overwhelming support for anyone who was able to create content or anyone who was even able to get some kind of recognition from Bungie at that time of, hey, you're doing something cool. We recognize the community. This is awesome. And over the time, with how big publication media and self-publication and blogging and YouTubers and as that has started to rise, there's been a lot of rise of people go more willing to go and attack other people because, oh, you get some kind of special attention that I don't get for not any really solidified reason. And I've been even the target on some of that stuff too. I won't go into much detail of it, but it's one of those things where people will put in time and effort and certain people will maybe get a little more recognition for something over someone else. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who gets more recognition or who gets less. The really cool thing about, I think, the special relationship that 343 Industries has with the community is that there is quite a bit of community-based employment within 343. Just Cachet came from the community. Bravo came from the community. Grim came from the community. The Ascendant Justice guys came from the community. There's a lot of people that have been, of the pro team came from community. There's a lot of people that have been pulled in from the community to really understand and get the feeling of how the community feels about Halo. And this is actually something that's been pretty unique from the 343 side that we didn't normally get to see from the Bungie side. Granted, even within Bungie, there was still kind of like community outreach to a certain point, but with 343, they've really taken a note of like, hey, this is our community. We care about our community. Let's get our community involved with making the game. That way we can better understand what the community wants and then be able to fit the needs of game development and what game developers know from a professional standpoint of making a good game and integrating community feedback in with that. So to me, 343 is actually in a very unique situation there. And then there's also a close-knit connection with the existing community. So between the YouTubers like Green Skull, Chief Canuck, Duquesne 23, Lurker Zero, and there's plenty of other Halo YouTubers out there. That's just kind of the ones that pop into my head. Halo Canon. There's actually some relationship between the content creators and 343 because, one, they're willing to put time and effort without being paid to promote Halo and make content about Halo, about a franchise that they love and enjoy. And two, 343 wants to recognize that effort. So they're going to reach out to those people and interact with those people and say, hey, you're doing a good job. We like the content you're doing. Keep it up. We're willing to work with you to some degree to help make your content better or help get the word out and that kind of stuff. I mean, prime example is when we did the Halo Bowl a few weeks ago, Grim came forward and did a write-up on the effort because they thought it was a wonderful thing that we did. And then we had Zach Weigel on from Gamers Outreach come on and talk about Gamers Outreach and the whole program and even shared some new stuff because of just how much support that they felt that they got from this. So 343 is going to take advantage of the support that they get. And for people that are willing to go the extra step, not necessarily just to play the game or post on boards or reply to YouTube comment threads or reply to Reddit posts, whatever. For people that are going out and making that content, 343 is going to engage them. And this isn't just for content that's just positive. This is for any type of content that they get that is constructive. And there's another thing, too, from the aspect of negative and positive, but also being constructive. There's a lot of distance in the Halo community, or at least there has been several times in the past, where people will just completely bash an individual or a group of individuals or a community or 343 because of whatever reason. And there have been numerous reasons. And there are times when, yeah, it is right to get frustrated over something. It is right to get angry or mad or very discontent and voice your feedback. That feedback is good when it is delivered appropriately. When you can say, hey, I don't like X, Y, and Z, and I think it's just stupid and wrong and you're a butthead. That's not constructive feedback. Yeah, you've identified what the problem is, but you haven't identified why it is a problem. And the same thing could be said for saying positives. You say, hey, this is great. This is great. Okay, cool. We're glad you like it. Why do you like it? For example, Bravo put out a tweet today saying, what is your favorite Halo map and why? It's all great if you can identify, hey, I like this or I don't like this. Awesome. But if you can go into detail and support yourself and say why, that holds a lot more weight to 343 and other game developers for that matter. And they are going to look for that kind of feedback. And for content creators, whether they're bloggers or podcasters or YouTubers or whatever kind of media content that they publish, for those groups or individuals that consistently do that and provide that feedback and provide substantial content, of they're going to be the ones that are going to kind of get the benefit from 343 reaching out and interacting with them. And that's a good thing, because they're the bodies that are representing the community. They're the intermediates between the community at large and 343's community team. And there's really kind of a bridge there. And those community influencers are the bridge between those two entities. So to say that any one particular entity is getting special treatment, well, to one degree they are, because they have put that time and effort into making their content because they're passionate about it. And we will want to say positive things about the franchise because we like the franchise. We want the franchise to do well. It's not that we're trying to cover up any conspiracy or anything bad with the game. Most of the time, if you take the time to sit down, slow down, and see what YouTubers or podcasters or bloggers are saying about a certain thing that they enjoy, at some point you're going to see, hey, I really like this game. Granted, it has these issues that I really don't like, but overall, I like the game. And I think it's also one of those things as a society that we just have to have a more global positive mindset. So in the terms of Halo 5, yeah, campaign, in my opinion, doesn't really match up with what they had for the advertising campaign. Didn't really have too much depth to it. Kind of got there a little bit closer to the end with the whole Cortana thing, and there's that little cliffhanger at the end, which is all good. But as far as I'm concerned, campaign is subpar. Multiplayer functionality is great. The maps and the game modes that were available, could have used some work at launch. Having Forge out a month and a half later after launch probably didn't help. Some other things, yada, yada, yada. But overall, I would say that Halo 5 is fun, and for me personally, I enjoy it. Now, there'd be some people that would say, hey, that's an overly positive review because your views don't line up with mine, and I have all these issues with Halo. It's like, okay, you're allowed to have your own issues, but if you just take a moment to be objective about it, which is kind of an oxymoron because no one is objective on the internet, it seems, these days. But if you take the time to weigh the pros and the cons fairly against one another, I think you will understand from a content creator's viewpoint, the positives probably pull more weight than the negatives, which is why you'll see YouTubers voice more positive things, because it's the things that they care about. It's the things that excite them about the game. And if something excites you, you're going to want to talk about it. If I'm excited for basketball and I'm really into March Madness, I'm going to be talking March Madness all the time, whether there's some teams I don't like about it, or if there's some weird thing, like maybe some weird ref call or some drama within March Madness or whatever. But if I'm passionate about it, I'm going to keep talking about it. And over that time period, there is going to be some negative that comes out about it. I know Green Skull is a very popular topic or target for some of this controversy sometimes, so I'm going to pick on him a little bit. He is a very positive outview person. Whenever he's talking with fans or working on videos, he's putting on a very positive perspective on things, which is understandable. If you want to be successful in making your content, you don't want, and we've actually suffered from this a little bit, which is why we kicked off one of our past co-hosts. But if you want people to keep coming back to you, you have to remain positive in your content. And there are times when being negative, but being critical and having a constructive argument on something is beneficial. One of which, I think there was a recent video. It was Favin. And then someone else replied to Favin. Favin put out a video of why Rex should not be in Halo and they're not appropriate whatsoever. And there was someone that responded to him. And even people that have a negative viewpoint, if they're passionate about and talking about it, that's good. Granted, the delivery might not be well done, but you can still have negative feedback as long as it is provided with evidence to support them and it is constructive, meaning that it makes a point and it has valid arguments, that it's something to pay attention to and something that carries weight. And you have certain YouTubers that maybe focus a little too much on the negative, and you see people start to dwindle away from that because people don't really want negativity in their life if they don't have to deal with it. You get enough of that from Facebook anyways. So you see a lot of content producers focus on positive aspects. And then when a big issue arises, you'll have these YouTubers come out and address the maybe not so pretty aspects of the game, but they're going to do it in a constructive manner. And sometimes those are misconstrued as being overly positive. And it's one of those things where, as the Halo community, I think it's our responsibility to be frivolous and supporting any argument that we have for or against a particular feature or the game overall or whatever it might be within Halo. But weigh those things out and think for yourselves, okay, maybe you don't like something, but maybe that doesn't really have as much of an effect as you think it might have. I mean, take Forge, for example. Yeah, it wasn't there at the start of the game. Yes, it hurt the game, but we have it now, and people are really enjoying it and are really benefiting from it. So yeah, while you could say Halo sucked because it didn't have a good campaign, it didn't have maps, it didn't have modes, it didn't have Forge, it didn't have all these things that the past games have had, valid arguments. But if you are unwilling to at least take a level-headed stance on a particular issue and be constructive about it, then your opinion doesn't really pull as much weight as someone else who's actually going out and producing content and putting some meat behind it, putting some oomph behind what they're talking about and putting some passion into it. And I think Halo YouTubers sometimes get a bad rap. And it's been evident over this whole kind of mess that happened during RTX. And yeah, I mean, being behind the scenes, there are some perks that we get, being able to directly interact with some of the people on the back end, getting to hear some things that we can't talk about, getting to share our opinions and actually seeing some results of that. But that's not necessarily us getting special treatment as far as it is us being able to sift through the mass of feedback that is the community and saying, okay, there's a lot of people talking about this. 343 should probably be made aware of this with these considerations and these feelings of these different aspects of the community and how it might... It's like we're a springboard for just kind of off-topic conversation and things that say, hey, what do you think about this? Given the community state, we think this. That type of thing.
The one thing that needs to go is the hate. I don't care if you're critical about 343 or you love them. The hate needs to leave. Whatever you're talking about 343. You know, if you've got a problem with the game, state your problem, tell them why it's a problem, but leave the hate out of the comment.
Well, and here's my response to that as well. If you hate the game, why are you sticking around? Why are you spending extra energy to hate the game when you can be doing something else that you enjoy? The only reason you have to exercise hate on something else or someone or some body is you want to pull them down. You want to chop them down. And really, that's not acceptable.
It's something that has no place. It's not constructive in any way. It doesn't make anybody look at you with loving eyes. You know, there might be some people that agree with what you say, but the way you deliver it, just don't. Yeah, I subscribe to several channels that are very critical of 343 and Halo. The reason I subscribe to them is to see what they're talking about, to see what their problems are in their eyes, what their problems are with the game. And so many times they'll start off good in the video. They'll be discussing, they'll be offering solutions. They'll be saying, well, this is why. And it seems like sometimes that hate creeps in. And once that hate creeps in, then that's when the video becomes toxic. That's when it becomes unconstructive. It's one thing I like about a lot of the bigger Halo YouTubers that I do follow. Yeah, they'll discuss the problems, but they don't cry and whine about it. They discuss the problem. They encourage their community to discuss the problem. And that's important, because then we can work together to be more uniform in what we want out of the game. The whole special treatment thing, yeah, they get special treatment. They get tickets to go to different events. They get invited to special events because of their coverage style, of how they show the positive, and they still talk about the negative, but they discuss the negative. They don't just blare it at 343. Yeah, a lot of these people have personal cell phone numbers for 343 employees. That doesn't mean they can just call up 343 and say, hey, you need to change this. They don't have that kind of power. And I watched a 4-hour Twitter discussion about that one. Yes, they have contacts inside 343, but they don't have the power just to say, hey, you need to change this, or there's a glitch here, you need to fix it. It doesn't work that way. It's still, 343 is still driven by the community at large. That's you, me, everybody, not just the people that have 150,000 or 1 million followers on YouTube or on Reddit or, you know, on their podcast, whatever. Unfortunately, yes, I am part of Podtacular, but Dust has got all the connections. Anyway, I don't know these, you know, I don't personally know these people. I would love to get to know them, but unfortunately, you know, they don't bring conventions to Kansas. Hey, Tip, bring a convention to Kansas. You know, I would like to get to know these people on a personal level, because I do admire what they do. They create a universe that I am genuinely trying to think of the right word. I'm genuinely invested in. The only books that I have ever read are Halo books and C.S. Lewis books. And that's only six of them. You know, the Narnia books,
Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah. Chronicles of Narnia. Those are the only books I've read in my life, and I'm 40 something. Anyway, I'm not a big reader, but they have done so much with this story that I don't know if I want to kiss the guy or slap him for doing this to me. That got me involved in Halo. You know, up until I played Halo, I played PlayStation. I played racing games. I didn't play shooters. I didn't have a desire or wish to play a shooter until he sucked me in one night when we were over playing game. You know, we were just having a game night, and he says, hey, I got this Xbox. You want to try this other game? I'm like, okay, well, let's try it. So I sucked at it. I utterly sucked, but I had a blast. There are some things that need to come back. You know, for me, the couch co-op thing is not a big deal for me. because I don't have anybody come over to my house to play Halo. There's a lot of people that really need that. And it is a good way to get people involved in Halo if they have never partaked of the Halo game or the current Halo game. It is a good way to get people involved. I do like, you know, me personally, and I like the 60 frames per second. Is it necessary in campaign? Probably not. Multiplayer, definitely. Because I enjoy multiplayer a lot more at that frame rate. It just feels better when I'm playing.
It's really different to go back to Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah. Well, just fire up Reach and play that. I'm all over the place with that. There's decisions that were made that made the community mad. That's fine. If you have an opinion, tell them. Say, hey, I don't like this. And tell them why. Because that has a higher chance of getting things changed than putting out a 20-minute video chewing on Halo YouTubers or 343 or putting out tweets that do the same thing of getting a positive change made to the game. You know, there's debates on they were too competitively focused. They didn't have enough cut. They didn't have enough casual. They didn't have enough game types. I'll agree with that. They did not have enough game types. But some of this stuff is just getting way too out of control. Way too out of control.
I think the community almost needs some kind of like revival of sorts to really come back to the roots of we all are here to play the game because we enjoy playing the game. And for those that don't like the game because of something that changed, then don't play the next game. Stay on the old game that you loved and enjoyed or go do something else. Use your energy that you would for some reason like to use to hate or belittle someone else or some entity or something and use that energy for something else. You be more productive. It's not worth hating something because, I mean, it's really just, it's not right. I mean, would you really want like to be hated back for something that you said and then have everyone else come and hate you for whatever? No, of course not. No one wants to be hated. No one wants to be left out. If you have something that you don't like, but you still enjoy the game, then voice the things that you don't like and keep on playing the game. Be supportive of the game. Make the game better by providing good, constructive feedback. The best way to do that is not to be negative, not to attack anybody, not to be hateful, and like play the game and get others to play the game. That's really the plain and simple of it. If you enjoy it, great. If you enjoy it and there's some aspects you don't like, then discuss those aspects with some people.
And if it really bothers you that much, quit playing the game.
And there are plenty of communities to get involved with. There are communities dedicated to lore. There are communities dedicated to race. There are communities dedicated to Forge. There's communities dedicated to Griffball. There's all these different communities that you can get involved with. And if you really have some substantial feedback within each one of those communities, there's a community influencer that 343 knows about, and that influencer will be able to take that feedback and feed your feedback up the chain and get it to the eyes of 343. Just look at how much interactivity 343 has had with Reddit over the past, since Halo 5 launched, really. Just look at how involved they are with the community. They care about the community and what we have to say about the game because they want the community to have fun with it. They really do. And really, that's more of a service to us than Bungie ever did. Bungie wanted to make a fun game that they enjoyed, which was great. They had good vision. They were able to make a fantastic game and a fantastic series. They had their idea of what they wanted for the game. They delivered through it, and it was awesome. And Halo 3, we got to see a little bit of community feedback integrated and a little bit with Reach. But really, 343 is kicking it out of the park, hitting it out of the park in terms of community engagement, more so than Bungie ever did with Halo.
They're just doing it in a much different way than Bungie did.
And well, I mean, I think to their credit, they're doing it more too. I think they're doing
They are doing it more, like, but they're doing it in a different. They are engaging the community in different ways than Bungie did. And I'm not saying Bungie did it wrong. Bungie was great when it came to community. They highlighted people that were doing things that were special. You know, they did the Bungie. What were the Wednesday nights called? Where Bungie take on communities.
Oh, the Hump Day Challenges.
Yeah, the Hump Day Challenges. But they didn't really bring a lot of people inside their circle. And that's what they have. They have a circle. They didn't bring community into that circle. Where 343, they are bringing, you know, these people that post and talk and discuss into the circle. They're even hiring them to help get the word out to the community and to listen to the community, what they want to say. And I will say this. Sometimes the community thinks they know what they want, but they don't. Here lately, I've been hearing all these people saying they loved Reach. Reach was great. It was the best game ever in the Halo series. I'm like, are we talking about the same game? Because when Reach launched, not 60 days after it launched, they were people. It was as bad as it is now with Halo 5. The people were just complaining and moaning and whining and armor locks. It's like, do you got these rose-colored glasses that I don't have? Because I still remember that. I will say that Reach was a good game. After Halo 3, I really enjoyed Reach. Halo 3 is probably my least favorite game, especially when it comes to multiplayer. Campaign, great. I love the campaign. But when it came to multiplayer,
I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same boat as you
are. I've got about half the games, my total played games in Halo 3 that I did in Halo 2. Because I couldn't get into the multiplayer of Halo 3. It doesn't mean I still didn't play it. Definitely, I join up on custom nights with people. I found something that I did enjoy in the game. Multiplayer just happened to not be it. And, you know, pretty much every playlist in Halo 3 was ranked in some way. They might have said social, but there was still a rank there. It just wasn't a number.
Well, yeah, it was like a skill rank that kind of helped match you up. Yeah.
You honestly, I still enjoy, and I'm not a competitive player. Anybody that's ever played with me can tell you that. I am not a competitive player, but I have more fun in a ranked playlist than I do in social. Because in social, it always seems to be you get those two people that are, you know, the equivalent of a rank 50 on the other team, and they just make your life miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
In true. Ranked play, I don't get that. I mean, every once in a while I'll get stomped, but it's generally because I'm not playing well, not because they're that much better than me. I honestly have more fun in a ranked playlist than I do in social, because they, with the ranking, they keep it within my skill level, or at least reasonably close to it, which I have to admit, they have done an awesome job in Halo 5.
The ranking in Halo 5 is top notch. It really is.
Well, the matchmaking is, the ranking, every time I rank I do SWAT, but every time I rank, I rank within a level of the one I did the previous, every month that I've played SWAT to get my rank, I've rolled in right at platinum one or platinum two, just right in that same spot. So, and that tells me that they've got an accurate ranking system finally. In Halo 2 and Halo 3, oh my Lord, I'd play people that were way overskilled for me.
Well, and that had the de-ranking issue as well.
It did, but no, I would literally get matched with people that were anywhere from 5 to 10 ranks higher than me. Their actual rank, the rank that is displayed, not people that are de-ranking. Granted, I did run across a lot of them. Matter of fact, I think I still have a video on my Halo 3 file share of one particular gentleman. I'll have to look.
Oh, fun.
Oh, he irritated me. He irritated me bad. There are a lot of things that they did right in Halo 5. Look at those to judge the game and tell them, say, hey, you didn't do such a hot job here. This is why. And don't attack people that have a positive outlook on Halo 5. Because there is a lot to like in it. Is it the perfect game? No. Will they ever make the perfect game? No. But they can get a lot closer.
Right. And another thing, too, is that don't rile on somebody just because they have a different opinion than you. Everybody's going to have a different opinion than you to some degree or another. So if there's someone out there that's toting positive things, it's not because they're being paid by 343 to say positive things. It's because they actually care about the game enough to say positive things about it.
You know, my dad used to tell me, and I'll clean this up for the podcast, because the way he says it, opinions are like butts. Everybody's got one. So, just because your opinion doesn't match up with somebody else's opinion, don't hold it personal against them. If you are in a bad mood, don't get into discussion about something.
And just be open to other people's opinions. You might learn something. Shocker.
And that's why I watch these people that are, for lack of a better phrase, hammering on Halo and 343. But I watch the people that still in their videos are offering some suggestions, are offering a solution. Is it a practical solution? Maybe not. But they're still putting it out there. Their delivery could be a lot better. They get very passionate about what they're talking about, and not in a good way. As far as the way the video comes across, the way their discussion comes across. But I try to look past that and really listen to what they're saying and not what it feels like they're saying, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the underlying story, and because there's a lot of things that I totally agree with them on. The rec system has problems. Does it belong in Halo? You can find 50 voices either way in any 100 people you survey. It's something that's there. It's something that I think 343 has done a really decent job for a first round on. It could use a lot of improvement, but don't chew on somebody because they like it. Don't chew on somebody because they hate it or they don't like it. I don't know how many different ways we can say it, Dust.
I think we've covered the bases as much as we can.
just remember, everybody, we're all humans. If you wouldn't treat yourself that way, don't treat somebody else that way. And you can take that however you want. I deal with it every day. I get people that they get upset because their car's broke. They come into my store and they are pissed off. And they direct that to me. Sometimes it gets to me and I get short with people because I was raised, you treat people like you want to be treated. And I'm just as guilty as they are of doing that to other people when it comes to customer service, especially certain brands. I can get very irritated and I'll project that to people. And I really try not to. And I know everybody will slip up and it happens, but just remember whenever you're having a discussion about something or you want to bring a point across, pretend like you're talking to yourself. Would you like what you're saying? Would what you're saying piss you off or motivate you to change before you blow up on Twitter or
YouTube comments or Reddit comments or whatever? YouTube,
Reddit comments. That's one of the problems with the internet, the anonymity. Nobody really knows who's behind those usernames. And that can bring out the cruelest part of a lot of people. Just remember that there are people on the other end of those comments. Yes, it's a username, but it's not just because you don't know who's there doesn't mean that they don't share the same set of feelings that you have. Don't try to be a bully on the internet because you didn't like the way something went.
I'll wrap it up and say this. There's going to be people out there that are going to put positive stuff out there. And as far as YouTube is concerned, the popular ones are going to be the ones that are being positive, because honestly, that's what people want. They don't want to see just constant negativity on a channel that they want to watch. They're not going to put up with that. So yeah, while you might have some YouTube channels seem for some reason or another unusually positive, it's not that they're being paid by 343 to say positive things about the game. It's that they're genuinely passionate about the game and they care about what they're talking about. It's as simple as that. It's not there's no reason to go looking for a conspiracy because there isn't one. So before you decide to go, like, if you think you're going to just go rile on somebody or hate someone, take a step back and just think about what's going on. Just think about, hey, this is just one opinion. This is just one thing that is something that they're talking about, they're passionate about, and it's not like they're sugarcoating it. It's not like they're trying to hide some conspiracy or something that 343 doesn't want you to know about. No. It's because they're passionate about the franchise that they're a part of that they want to have people get involved with it. They want to show the good sides of it. Because, I mean, if you want someone to be interested in something, you're not going to show them the bad stuff, right? That wouldn't make any sense. So yeah, of course there's going to be more positive stuff about the game for Halo than negative stuff that's going to permeate, unless it's going to be some kind of clickbait title, and then you have all the haters come by and say, oh, blah, 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 blah. But for the most part, the thing that's going to permeate the most and is going to last the most is going to be the positive and the critical stuff. You can have videos that are negative but critical, and those videos still do as well as the positive ones because they give you substance. They're not negative in the sense of, oh, I feel so bad about this now. They're negative in the sense of an argument, of a debate. And that kind of stuff is things that 343 really appreciates. They really like that kind of feedback, whether it's positive or negative, and they take it back with intent to look at it and assess it properly from the community standpoint and really look on how they can better the game or better the community interaction for the betterment of the franchise as a whole. They really do. They really care about it. And I know it's sometimes hard to believe because not everyone gets to see the inside workings of 343 or get to go to the studio or get to have a little bit more direct line communication with some of the folks on the back end. But trust me when I say that they really do care, and no community influencer has enough power to influence the development of a specific game aspect to the point where if they say something needs to happen, that it's going to happen because of something they say. No community influencer has that kind of power. Now we have more of an influence in terms of, hey, these are the things that might need to be addressed. And then 343 will go look at that and say, huh, okay, this is something that has been brought up by this influencer and this influencer. Okay, this is probably an issue we need to look at. And then they make the decisions. That's where the community team on the 343 side comes in. Like community managers like Bravo and community coordinators like Uni really come in and start to evaluate what's going on within the community and make decisions. And then they can pass those on to upper management and other parts of the dev team. And then they can have their own internal discussions, and based on whether or not it might be technically possible or technically the right thing to do, yada, 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 then they make the decisions on whether or not to execute on those recommendations. And sometimes recommendations that we make as a community are dumb ones. It happens. That's why we are not the game developers. There are some things that the community wants that, and it's my personal opinion that I think there are some cases where 343 has listened to the community too much and done too much for the community. But I think there have been some key moments where they've said, okay, we hear you, but you really don't know what you're asking for. And we know better because we've developed games before, and that's not a good idea.
That's something I alluded to earlier. It's just because you think it's a good idea doesn't mean it really is a good idea for Halo or any game. You won't get everything you want, and there's probably a good reason why.
And if you don't get what you want, don't play the game. If it's not fun to play for you because it's because it's not the same because Sprint's in there anymore, then don't play the game. You can still go play Halo 3. You can still go play Halo 2 on PC if you wanted to play Halo 2. There are other things that you can do to better pass your time than just complaining about a game and wasting effort just because you want to hate on something and you want to bring someone else down. So, yeah. Anyways, so that was a long rant. thank you, everyone, who stayed this long and powered through listening to us talk about it. It's a part of the it's an aspect of the community which it's sad to see that it's something that still permeates through the Halo community, and it's something that I think as a community as a whole, we need to encourage others to say, hey, I agree with you, and if this is something that's important, then provide evidence as to why something doesn't work or something doesn't belong in Halo. And there are other people out there that will share similar interests as you do. So find communities that you can get plugged in with, and then find those influencers that you can talk to. And heck, if you have a shared enough viewpoint and something that is going to be constructive to the overall community, I mean, you might just become another community influencer. I mean, look at Lurker Zero. He wasn't really a big time Halo YouTuber until recently that I was aware of, and he's become kind of one of those new YouTuber guys. And sure, he might not have as many connections as Green Skull or Canuck or Duquesne have, but there's a little more interaction between Halo and him now because of the kind of critical content, the constructive content that he's provided. And he's provided both sides of the story. He is a very like straight shooter, kind of down the middle type of guy who's going to say, here's what I think about it and here's why, not to say this is necessarily good or bad in some instances, or this is why I don't think it's good, this is why I think it's bad. But he is a good example of a YouTuber who doesn't take crap and that doesn't deliver crap either. He delivers what he truly feels and he backs it up.
He puts a lot of thought into his videos.
He does. He is a very intentional person with what he says, and it is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know him. I've played with him. He's a very level-headed guy. He really, when he does these videos, he thinks pretty deep about them. They're not just off-the-cuff videos. He takes a personal analyst to the subject he picks, and he does a really good job of expressing his thoughts on the particular subject that he picks and possible solutions. And the best part is he doesn't get angry about it. He doesn't even begin to sound angry. Where a lot of these people, you know, yes, they're being very passionate, but they let the anger into their voice, and that changes the whole tone of the video or the article, whatever, however they're expressing themselves. That's one thing I like about Lurker, and I enjoy his videos. That's why, you know, whenever he gets a new one, I watch it and I favorite it. Whether I agree with him or not, I'll favorite it just to get the word out there.
Yep. So I think that's going to wrap it up for tonight.
Yeah, I think we pretty much beat that one to death.
Yeah. So I encourage you guys to spread this podcast around once it comes out for those in the Twitch chat, and then for those in the that are listening to us, download it, spread this with your friends. If you see someone in the community, call them out for being hateful or not providing like clear cut feedback to 343 and say, hey, I think you might have some good opinions, but you need to kind of clean up your act before you're really going to be taken seriously. And it's our responsibility as a community to help kind of moderate ourselves. We have to be the ones that are willing to go out there and say, hey, this isn't acceptable in our community. We don't want to kick you out, but if you don't change your attitude, we're going to kick you out. So go out there, make a change for the community, make the Halo community the best gaming community around, because I honestly think it could be, and I think the franchise is so diverse enough to where we have so many communities because of just how diverse it is, and it's awesome. The Halo community is an awesome place to be. We have these cancerous cells that just kind of like to linger there and like to hate other facets of the community or hate parts of 343 or whatever. And it's just not right. And I know we can do a better job at it. And I want to see us as a community do a better job about it.
Let's get back to being a Halo community.
And not a hating community. Yeah. Wrapping this up. Thanks everyone for tuning in who was here during the live stream for Twitch. Thanks for everyone that has downloaded this. I encourage you to share it with your friends and other people who are part of the Halo community and just get the word out that we're a community. We need to stand together. We need to stand up for the things that we believe in, and we need to be able to back up anything that we say, whether positive or negative, and just overall be appreciative of everyone else in the community, whether they are community influencers or whether they are the lowest of the community and fracks that, like, they just want to play and have fun. Like, everyone in the community is important to for some reason or another, and let's just not push aside the fact that, oh, this YouTuber gets special attention because he's a YouTuber. Yeah, it's cool because, yeah, it's cool that someone in the community is getting recognition by the studio. That's awesome. That's amazing. And I will be the first person to admit, I have been jealous of so many other Halo people that I've been doing Podtacular now for almost 8 years. And there are still other people that get quote unquote better perks than I do as far as being able to interact with the studio. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, 343 is interacting with the community, and they're going out of their way. They don't have to do that if they didn't want to. They could just make the game and say, ha ha ha, screw you guys. We're just making the game because we want to make money. Thankfully, they're not a studio that does that. And thankfully, the studio has pulled in community people, so they understand the importance of community. Like, you can't really get much better community interaction than what 343 has done for Halo. So it doesn't matter whether or not one person gets more recognition over the other or gets special treatment. Some people deserve it because they put in so much time and effort into making their content and making their brand. And that is awesome. And for other people that might not have that yet, it's not that they don't notice you. It's just that they can only spread themselves so thin. And I'm sure they still appreciate all the work. They appreciate everyone who's going in and making Forge maps. Whether or not your Forge map even makes a dent or a download, they still appreciate everyone that's going out and using the tool, because they want people to use that tool, whether or not you are getting your map featured in the matchmaking playlist or not. As long as they're making the tool and you're having fun with it, then they've accomplished their goal and they are happy about it. Anyways, I'll get off my podium. I'll wrap up the show. Thanks again for tuning in. We do this on Thursday nights every week, recording at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch. You can find us over at podtaggler.com/Twitch, where we do our podcasts. We also host a Friday game night, which is anything from Customs and Warzone or Arena, depending on what the lobby wants at the time. And Godzilla T also broadcasts that on Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So there are couple of those ways to get in on the stream, and we're going to have some other nights hopefully getting streamed here soon once we can get some other streaming assets available. So get some of our Spartan Company events streamed as well. And we also have, speaking of the Spartan Company events, we're probably going to end up consolidating our Tactical Tuesdays and Warzone Wednesdays into a single weekly event, just from the perspective of I don't have time to hop on necessarily every Tuesday or Wednesday, and I haven't had anyone really step up to take those positions. So we're probably going to look at consolidating that into maybe one day a week. And I would encourage everyone in the company, if you see someone online and just want to play, invite people from the company. Just go online and invite people. We don't have to have a specifically set company event in order to play with company members. If you want to play with someone, the company is there so that you can go on. And if someone's online, invite them. And if someone invites you from the company and you're not busy with like another party or something, play with them. Get out there and be part of the Spartan Company. So we have the Tuesdays and Wednesdays, which still stands right now until otherwise noted, which will probably change here pretty soon. And like I said, we've gotten some new staff recently. We have a new writer, so we'll hopefully have him introduced here pretty soon, along with our community manager, which we haven't had a chance to introduce yet on the show either. So hopefully we'll be able to get to introduce those folks to you guys here on the podcast here pretty soon. I will be attending San Diego Comic-Con next week, so I'll be able to hopefully get the scoop on some stuff that they announce at whatever they talk about during the Halo panel on Friday. Maybe be able to get some additional interviews as well. So hoping that we can work something out there. So hopefully we'll get some good content out of that. And we also are part of a podcasting network called the Podcast Network, ironically. You can find that at podka.st, and it includes other gaming-specific shows like Guardian Radio and Critcast and The Learning Cliff. And then there's also Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. And I still think there's no word on the Overcast or Overwatch show that Critcast was supposed to be breaking off. I don't know if that's still in progress or what's going on with that. But hopefully that's something that we can hear some news about here pretty soon. So please go over and check those out. Let them know that we sent you. And just if you're looking for other podcasts to listen to, they're great. They have great production quality. They're awesome to listen to. And I would recommend Critcast and Guardian Radio and as terms of just great to listen to and production quality as good podcasts. So please check them out. Please let them know that we sent you. And again, if you're looking for extra content to listen to, they're great. On that note, thanks again one last time, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Godzilla T, for sitting through my ranting along with everyone else in the Twitch chat tonight.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. As far as we are concerned, we will not be having a podcast next week because I will be in San Diego for Comic-Con. But in case we do get something worked out where we might be able to do that, we will let you know via Twitter. So in the plans, we won't have one. So we plan on seeing you in 2 weeks for the show.
And if you'd like to be part of a Halo or a Podtector video, be sure to hit me up. I'm looking for people to star in my Achieving Halo series.
Awesome. Yeah. Number 4, are you planning on it this weekend?
No, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to get it done this weekend. But
okay.
I still got another day, so yeah.
All right.
Fingers crossed. But yeah, definitely hit me up. There's only one rule. Don't kill me.
Pretty important rule.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. See you later. Keep on keeping the community great.